Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to episode number 94 of this Self-Help Podcast. We're getting close, Sean, to the big 100.
Does that 94 make us middle-aged?
Whoa. Yeah. In podcast terms, yeah. One podcast is equivalent to 2 human years.
Do you think?
No, half. Yeah, I don't know. I am Edward Lamb. That was Sean Orford. This is the Self-Help Podcast, and if you don't know who we are, well, I've just told you, but you should also go to liveinthepresent.co.uk to find out more about us and the stuff we're doing. Isn't that right, Sean?
You should indeed.
Do I have your full attention? Yes.
I'm actually into a really interesting website that I'm going to put up.
Uh-huh.
Which is related to today, which I'll tell you about later.
Well, yeah, we're talking about midlife crisis, aren't we? Or the midlife crisis, if it exists, or it's a myth or what, but... must be something in it.
I think number one has to be when's midlife.
Well, you know, hold your horses. We'll come to that, won't we? We do. You know the format. We talk about what we've Remember, right, yeah. 94 episodes.
I was getting excited then.
So. Yeah.
So I'll go back to being miserable.
Good. How are you doing, Sean? What have you been up to?
I've been really depressed. I've had a really good time. My life is a good time. Life is busy. I've just had a couple of days off, and I've been working on the studio attic. And
see how I raised my eyebrows there?
It's getting dangerously near completion.
Mm-hmm.
We will be sliding in there in the foreseeable future.
not putting a date on it, though.
I think it would be unwise to put a date on it at this time.
Look, I think we should have it done. Maybe that could be the 100th episode surprise.
Sugar.
So they give you about 6 weeks.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, I could try that.
Call someone in. Call a man in to finish it off, eh?
I am a man.
No, you're a real man.
A hunky chap.
I tell you, yeah. I do the probably the most manly thing I do now that the spring is here. Is racing, motor racing. I've been back on the track for the first time in months.
Right.
Regular listeners will know that I haven't talked about karting in a while.
Yeah.
We've took our go-kart out, got out of the garage. The engine started up first time. What a lovely motor it is.
Yeah.
New brakes fitted, so the brakes actually work.
What colour is it?
The whole kart?
Yeah.
Well, it's got black side pods and front nose, and it's got kind of a silver chassis to it. And
I need to come and shout at you while you're doing it, don't I?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're hoping for a little session on Friday afternoon, actually. We try and go on an afternoon in a week to practice because the track's empty and we can just go round and round and round to make sure if it's working. And then race every once a month on a Sunday, we enter in competitions.
Right, well.
Or we did until we took a bit of a break. Me and Alan have been busy bees and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, equally, I haven't talked about running for ages because in between Christmas and New Year, I managed to tear my Achilles tendon.
Ouch.
Which did make one say fish cakes a few times. and I've been limping for ages, and it's just starting to get right. And I'm just starting to exercise and do things again. So I'm hoping to be back to running fairly shortly.
You look healthy. So obviously that lack of running is obviously really helping.
I've put weight on again. See, I'd gone really skinny, and I've put weight on again. So.
Keep it on. You look better.
Don't look like a ghost.
Anyway, yeah, this week we're talking about midlife crisis, aren't we, Sean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like you say, the first thing to discuss is, what is midlife? I mean, literally, when does it start? Because, well, it starts at different points for different people, doesn't it?
But the concept always was that the midlife was in your mid-30s. But in a world where people are living into their mid-90s,
yeah,
you're talking about mid-40s up to 50s, aren't you?
So it's a shift, bit of a shifting.
Yeah,
thing. I know you could probably happen a lot earlier than that, really, for certain people that have experienced certain things in life. I mean, Wikipedia does say that it was a term first coined by Elliot Jacques, French dude, I'm guessing, referring to a critical phase in human development during the 40s to early 60s.
It's a weird thing in the Eastern world. Astrology is seen as a really important thing. And astrology is seen as a science which is so huge that things like psychology would just be a subset of this massive science, that we're all a part of what's going on universally. What they say in the East is that the bit which controls the way that your system works, which is seen as Saturn in the system, comes back to the place that it was when you were born, when you're about 30, 31. And most people go through a crisis in their early 30s.
Yep.
They would identify. And it's supposed to come back to the parable that's in the Bible about the man who builds his house on rock or the man who builds his house on sand, so that when the earthquake comes, the person who's built their house on sand, the house falls over. And the person who has got a solid foundation, it kind of rocks a bit and then settles back down again. That's the kind of concept.
But can I just tell you something relevant? I grew up in a house not far from here.
Yeah.
And the world is lots of sandstone, isn't there?
Yeah, so was there an earthquake?
Our actual house was called Sandy Mount. So what does that say about
me? All right, yeah.
Just thought, oh, no. Oh, God. I'm 33. Oh, yeah, I'm done for. Jeez. Okay, carry on.
But the if you look at divorce statistics of those people that bother to get married these days, very often the divorce happens when the woman is in her early 30s, people that are going to go for it, and usually it's the woman's decision that, yeah, so that, I don't know, interesting time. So when's midlife? When's the crisis happening? I mean, you were identifying, did you say 35 up?
Well, that's what it says here, yeah. I mean, so you've said early 30s there, which...
Yeah.
I'm probably a good case in point here. I'm 33.
Are you having a midlife crisis?
I haven't bought the... well, is that... It's caricature, isn't there, of the midlife crisis? It's a soft-top convertible car.
But to me, that's...
Flapping in the wind.
that's usually men that are in their kind of mid to late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah.
That are looking...
Back end of the midlife crisis.
Yeah, it's almost as though by the time you can afford to buy that kind of vehicle, you look stupid sitting in it.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of crazy.
We do mock, and I'm very good at mocking and taking the mic. But
I never would have guessed.
Ultimately, this kind of stuff can lead to depression, got it?
But then you have to look at what's going on. It's like, for me, the people that I would identify as being in midlife crisis, and I would see that as any time from kind of 35 through to kind of 65,
yep.
People who, in the majority of people when I work with them, it appears that they didn't manage to do in their adolescent phase, like 14 to 21, they didn't go and do all the things that they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were the compliant person, they were the good child, and never did anything wrong at all. And they didn't go and experiment with themselves and play with new images and versions of themselves.
Yeah, this is I can relate to that partly because I didn't do the whole travelling thing as a kid, you know, when you go... After uni or before uni, you go off to the Far East and get drunk and go down Australia and New Zealand and all that stuff. And I had a group of mates that did, really good friends, and I never seriously considered it, actually. I don't know why, but part of me does think I should have done that, you know. So I can, and yeah, here I am, 33 now, got two kids, oh my God. Well, they're sleeping pretty well, so it's all cool, but... apparently I've got a few grey hairs starting to show, but I'm blonde, so you can't really tell. I'm getting a bit wrinkly.
Botox, you'll be right.
So yeah, I'm textbook. I'm feeling pretty chirpy, actually. But I always thought, and I still do, that there's still time for that travelling stuff.
But I think that's it, isn't it? It's like we would say someone at 45 says, sod it, puts on a backpack and goes off for a year and walks around the jungles of Java or somewhere. We say, oh, they're having a midlife crisis. You know, maybe they're having a necessary experience. Because adolescence is delayed, which is what I think a lot of midlife crisis is, it doesn't mean to say that it's wrong or it shouldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just means that we are... maybe a bit out of time with how we could be in our developmental process, but we're still developing.
That's right. That's a key point that we'll come back to later, I'm sure, in that whole lifelong learning thing. I guess there's also a lot of pressure, more so than ever, to tick certain boxes in life, aren't there? And there is a pressure on to, by the age of, say, 30, 35, to have things wrapped up a little bit in terms of your job, maybe your family, you settle down in a relationship and all that stuff. And if you're not quite there, or maybe you are there and you feel like there's two sides to the coin, aren't there? You either.
But I would identify males particularly, aged around 55, who kids are at university, the mortgage isn't paid off. They bought into this thing that you're talking about getting the perfect family going, and they're hating what they're doing for their living, and they're doing it day after day, and they want to go and do something else, and they need a bit of something in their life to make it different, and that's when people get into trouble and either go and do drugs for the first time or go and have an affair or do something crazy,
yeah,
which doesn't really help, doesn't work for them.
I'm still in that. Almost all of my pals are kind of married now. There's a few, aren't there? So there's still a few stag do's that are knocking around. Like there's one which I missed out on just last week, which a pal is getting married in a month. But then I am going on a stag do in early May to somewhere in Portugal. I can't remember the name of it. Which I don't think it's too pleasant a place. Basically, it's been infected.
It's not a pleasant place.
Well, yeah, it's kind of stag do central.
Oh, right.
So it'd be fun. It'd be brilliant. Yeah. But, like, I'll come back after two nights and, like, just want to
be curl up in wrecked. A ball.
So I'm running out of stag do's. But there's this thing where, you know, I go away with a group of fellas on these stag do's every now and again. And it's everyone's off the leash all of a sudden. And there's no, like, really naughty. Like, I've got good mates. So there's nothing too naughty going on. But off the leash, and all of a sudden everyone's going wild. It's like, why aren't we doing this all the time? But, yeah, we've got these pressures back home to keep in line.
I think that the other life crisis point I see in people is women when the last child leaves home, last child goes to uni, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And the woman's role has changed. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't kind of know who she is anymore, and there's a crisis point that happens then, and that is a time when people do have affairs and stuff like that. And they start to experiment, or they want to do things for themselves, so like the world begins to change.
We read out some crazy stats about extramarital stuff a couple of weeks ago, and we like 60% of women.
Yeah. So it's huge. And the other one, which is emerging at the moment, is people going into retirement and ending up splitting up.
Well, there's something I just want to... I haven't written this down, but... something I'm going to put forward as a theory is that maybe now retirement is the new midlife crisis.
Well, yeah, I think that's quite...
People are retiring in mid-50s, 60s, because they can still get away with it, because of decent pensions and all that. And all of a sudden, yeah, they've got 40 years out there with nothing. Well, which, on the face of it, if you've worked your backside off for 30, 40 years already, it's cool, but then a year into it, I don't know, people are starting to struggle a bit, and you probably... must see people that are around.
But I've had women say to me that, breakfast, they're sat opposite their dear husband, who they've kind of avoided for most of their lives because they only see him at the weekend or, you know, that kind of thing, you know, that everyone's working. And suddenly they're sat opposite this person and they're thinking, I'm not staying here for the next 20 years. You know, I can't cope with this. Yeah. It is women, it would appear to be, in all the stuff I read, about women who are the motive force, who are saying, no, you know, I don't do this.
Yeah.
Take half the house, half the pension, and off I go. I want to, you know, rebuild, do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that the longer that we live, the more likely those kinds of things are to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to get these different crisis points as we go through. But I go back to the people that seem to be the most stable... In the long term, seem to be the people that in their adolescence allowed themselves to experiment and play. And they got all that kind of stuff out of their system.
Uh-huh.
So there's no kind of backlog of stuff.
Well, you've got quite a little life story, Sean. You've had multiple midlife crises.
Yeah, yeah. My life has been a midlife crisis.
when you were 15 and you left home.
Yeah. But in that time, I did do all the travelling. You know, and all the things that you do when you're in that phase, that when you're an adult, if your children are doing it, you're horrified.
Yeah.
You know, whether it is experimenting with drugs or whether it is hanging out of people's windows, vomiting, or like whatever it is that you're doing that as an adult is, but in that adolescent phase is relevant experience.
Yeah. That's where it comes down to the pressure from other people to do certain things in life, and whether it's your parents or your friends. Or whatever, and I've got an example actually, which Really cool little infographic and article. It's on a website called fundersandfounders.com, so I'm guessing it's finance related, but it's about late bloomers and success stories for people later in life, which there are loads and loads and loads. And you tend not to hear about them because people just assume that success, inverted commas, successful people were, you know, hit right first time. So I've got some cool examples here. Really cool little graphic, this. Look at this, Sean. So, for example, Paul Cézanne, heard of him?
Yeah.
Right, he hadn't painted at all till he was 20.
Cézanne.
So that was, you know, still pretty early on.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone, he'd only acted in adult roles, movies, till he was 24.
Does adult movies mean dirty movies?
Softcore stuff, yeah, I believe, from what I've read. J.K. Rowling, she was a teacher till 23, apparently.
Yeah.
Alan Rickman, like this one, he had no film roles at all till he was 28.
Right.
And then I think early on is when he got Die Hard. He was probably a bit... I don't know, actually, he was probably in his 40s when he got Die Hard.
Mm.
So, yeah. There's not enough much appreciation, I don't think, for that putting in the hard work early on and then getting the success in that later period in life.
I think that the concept that you have to be young to hit it is wrong.
There's that guy. Recognise that little picture?
Here's the guy that runs, isn't he?
Yeah.
102. Is he still running?
Fowler Singh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, he says until he was 89, he thought marathons were 26 kilometres.
He'd just been running them. 26 kilometres. Yeah.
So, yeah, never too late, guys.
I think that idea of 60 is the new middle age, the amount of people that are doing new startup businesses in their early 60s is huge.
Right.
You know, so I think that's right, all that the stuff you're reading out there. But what that means is, I think we have to get rid of the idea of the concept of age, and certainly with the change in our social welfare system, the idea of retirement is probably going to have to change as well.
Yep, we are, well, not just retirement, but even I've been reading things about how we're going to prepare for a jobless future, basically, you know, when automation kicks in. When are we allowed to? So many professions are going to be able to be automated. It's like, how is society going to survive with this flow of money? If anything, the welfare state's going to have to increase, I think, rather than where the money will come from. I'm not sure. I'm not a clever enough economist to figure it out.
I came across a case a good few years ago where I was working with a client who had been to see a counsellor, and the counsellor had fallen asleep whilst the person was talking. So I said, what did you do? And she said, well, I just looked out the window and carried on talking. And I thought, that's fascinating, because you actually don't need a therapist, you just need a cardboard cutout sat in the seat and get the person to come and talk to it.
Oh, yeah, could be on something there.
Yeah.
We need to develop some kind of...
A cardboard cutout and me. Maybe I could have several me's operating at the same time.
Hi, Sean.
Multiple layers. Yeah. It's wonderful. But, yeah, I mean, how many things happen now that machinery could do, the robotic machinery could do? The problem that you got then, which would take us back to what we were doing in the last session, is people would be in a total state of procrastination,
yeah,
in the sense that there would be nothing to do. You know, people would have to create things to do. And maybe creating self-development is a good thing to do, but people have to be motivated that way to do it.
I mean, yeah, it's fascinating that... I need to start reading up on it more, but I mean, let's say people don't have to work anymore for a living and they're still living for 100 years more, maybe, which I'll come to later. Yeah, we've got to figure out ways to fill our time, because work fills a lot of people's time at the moment. Even if it's not work they particularly enjoy, at least you might enjoy the people you work with, and that's cool. So without that, what the heck are we going to do, man?
I mean,
I know I do. I'd like to travel more, I guess, if I didn't have to work my backside off. I enjoy the work I do, to be fair. But then, would I be able to travel without work, and would I be able to afford to?
I think that the idea that people would not need to work is a whole evolutionary shift. It takes us to a completely different kind of human being.
Well, yeah, I mean,
to what we've ever been.
How many hundreds of years have we been on this treadmill of work now? The 8-hour day and all that stuff.
Yeah. The thing is that the people that would be into self-development, either through education or whatever, would be in their element. But it's other people, isn't it, who those things would be of no interest, that need to be physical and need to be doing stuff. If they're not into sport, what do they do?
Yep.
You know, maybe they'd have to go and climb mountains all over the world or do something. Yeah. There's a list here that comes from the site that I'm using as my resource.
Cool.
And these are things about how do you avoid that sense of crisis? Because that's the thing for me, isn't it? So you wrote down here, keep learning and you'll be okay. And I think that's right, because we know, don't we, that if you keep learning, your brain creates new brain cells. If you don't keep learning, then it doesn't.
Right.
So either you've got a young brain or an old brain, depending on what you're doing with it, you know? This list here is very, very relevant. And I think that they're all things that avoid us hitting the crisis point. But it's to do, a lot of it's to do with being honest. So the first thing is stop hiding who you really are.
Yep.
You know, stop pretending, but actually be who you are, which may offend other people. You know, it may be that your relationships around you, either work, personal, whatever, are built on you saying, yes, okay, fine, when you don't believe it or feel it.
Wow. Yeah? Okay. I like this list. I'm just scanning down it as we look.
Number two is start being intensely selfish. Wow. Now, that's a really weird concept in our society. But the thing is, if I don't look after me and I don't attend to me, I don't have those emotional inner resources to be able to look after anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like charity begins at home. I have to look after me first.
Yep.
Then I'm able to look after other people. Yeah, and that's a big concept for lots of people to get their heads around. Yeah,
rather than just endlessly looking after other people.
But how many times do I come across people in therapy or in everyday life who are in their own midlife crisis because they've been the bottom of a list where they've been looking after everybody else's needs?
Sure.
And their needs have never been met, you know, and like suddenly the pressure's on, you know, that they've lost that sense of who am I? Yeah,
I need to have a chat with my lovely wife about that, actually, because she's full-time mum at the moment, obviously, when I'm out and about, and she's on maternity leave, so I'm really trying to push her to have some time on her own every now and again, and, you know, even a Friday night out with some pals or something like that. And she, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, she'll be asleep by now anyway, listening to this. but, yeah, she's reluctant to take any time out from it, because she's worried that, you know, the family will suffer. Not that it will, really. Like, she doesn't really think that, I don't think, but, yeah. It's a bit of me time, hey?
Yeah, and that is really so important.
For the benefit of us all, is the point.
Because my thing is that if the woman, who usually is, the tentpole in the middle of the big top, she's holding it all up. Yeah, if she falls over, it all falls down. So the woman has a responsibility to look after herself and to attend to her own needs to enable her to hold the pole up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's to the benefit of everybody. But I think we all need to look after our own needs. I think that we need to be selfish in the sense of making sure that we're okay. It doesn't mean say that being selfish means that we make sure that people aren't okay.
Right.
We can include them in
so
it.
So
I shouldn't
feel so guilty about going off on a stag do for a couple of nights with my mates in a month.
I think that's from my point of view, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you did it every weekend, that would be wrong. Yeah.
I'm going down the pub every night before work, then
Yeah, that's before work.
Before work, yeah, and after, and during.
Yeah, they open early where you can...
Okay.
Stop following the rules. Stop being so rigid.
Yeah,
in our terms, we talk about blueness. Stop being so blue. Stop being so fixed. Stop being so rigid. You know, step out of line. Do something different. You know, put your trousers on back to front. Do something exciting. You know, make it different.
Don't wear trousers. Yeah.
Start scaring yourself. You know, start challenging yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's in that Baz Luhrmann tune.
Yeah.
Do one thing every day that scares you.
Yeah. When we live in the comfort zone, if your heart rate's up and it's like, whoo, you know that something's happening.
Yep.
You know, and if your heart rate never goes up because you always do the same thing the same way every day, you know, life becomes a bit sled dog, a bit boring. You know, it's the same thing every day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get a bit of woo.
Yeah, you need a bit of woo going.
Okay.
Stop taking it all so damn seriously. And I think that's the thing about having fun. I say to people, when did you last have fun? And they look at me like I'm mad, you know, as though fun is something that you can only get from special shops and when it's on special offer, rather than actually something that we could actively be enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fun should be a part of every day.
Exactly.
Yeah, and when you're not having fun, all these things I'm talking about here drive you towards midlife crisis because you overload. You end up having to go and do something else. You run out the house screaming one day and go off somewhere else. But then the amount of people that regret it later because in their midlife crisis they've gotten done all this stuff. And then 5 years later they say, no, I wish I hadn't done that.
Mm.
you know, because they've lost what they had.
Cool, okay, I'm having fun, keep going.
Yeah, start getting rid of the crap. You know, I mean, my house is full of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed. What's that old computer, man? Is that like an...
That's an old computer.
Pentium 2 or something.
Which is
like that.
One that I have to... I've got loads of stuff on the hard drive that I need to take off.
Sensitive material, then, I see. All right, nudge, I gotcha. Yeah.
I need to rip all that off, and then it needs to be disposed of.
Flipping it.
But that's came out of the Ark. But,
it's the Ark.
But it is, the house is full of stuff. That it's like, they say that if you've got stuff in your attic that you haven't used for the last 5 years, you can actually just go and put it in the tip, you know, really. But I mean, okay, maybe you need to go through it. But how much stuff do we actually need, and how much stuff have we got?
Yeah.
You know, when I think about when I was travelling, I got a pack on my back, I've got to change clothes, you know, a few pairs of underwear, you know, a couple of books, food bowl, bedroll, you know, that kind of basic stuff. And I lived like that for years.
Look at you now.
Yeah.
Young man make of you now?
Yeah. He'd think, you old bugger. but it's like, I need a Pantechnicon to move all this stuff. I couldn't just put it in a bag and go. You know, and how much of it can I use? I mean, how many pairs of shoes have I got? I didn't count them. I should count
my contact. Contents insurance is due for renewal this week. I've had a phone call, so yeah. Do I need to bother? As long as I've got my laptop, my phone, my kids, and my wife, I'm probably pretty happy. And my debit card in my pocket, I don't need anything else really.
Yeah. But we convince ourselves that we do, and then feel inadequate because we haven't got it.
Yeah.
You know, the relative deprivation of everyone in the street's got two cars. You've only got one. You know, you must be a failure.
I just realised I said laptop and phone before my family, so I'm going to get in trouble for that. Debit card came after them, though. Fair enough. Yeah, OK.
Stop being so busy.
Yeah.
Which is, we're back to the procrastination thing, isn't it? It's like, people that are too busy all the time are usually avoiding being themselves. Yeah?
All right, yeah, and I'm looking at the clock now. I'm busy because I've got a meeting in 45 minutes.
You're okay, relax.
Yeah. Relax. They won't mind if I'm 5 minutes late. They're cool. It's a charity.
They'll be thinking, wow, he's so cool.
This guy is so zen. We got to hire this guy. We need some of this.
Start something. Start something new.
Yeah.
Yeah? Actually have a project on the go. What's stressing you at the moment? What do you fancy doing?
Yeah, I need to have a chat with my dad about this. He's been retired a year and a half, maybe now, I think. Yeah. And he's got his not busy guy, but he does a lot of cycling, which is awesome. Now, especially now the weather's getting better. But I think you could do with a little project, a little business, online business project or something.
I have bigger things that I'm doing, but I always have a little thing that I've got on the go. So have you ever heard of book folding?
No. Right? Well, I have. When you shut a book?
No, I've been doing this thing. I did read one for...
I saw that.
Where you fold the book. And you could actually create images in the book by folding the pages.
Cool.
And I'm fascinated by stuff like that. So I'm in a book folding phase. Mm. But in my head, I'm building already in my head a rocking horse. I'm going to carve a wooden rocking horse.
Yeah, cool.
But it's going to be a really sexy rocking horse. And I think it's going to have a head at both ends. It's going to be a push-you-pull-me horse.
That's cool. I'll see that.
I like things to do, have things to do.
I'm into Duplo at the moment, like, just because there's a big box of it.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff. And like, when I really let myself go on it, and Will's watching the telly, and he's like left on the floor, and I'm getting, I'll build something. Check me out on Instagram. If you go through my Instagram feed, I've put some of my finest bits of work on there. But I get so into it, and then I'll find myself actually that night when I'm going to bed thinking about shapes, Duplo shapes, and like things I could make.
Yeah.
I thought one night, I could make a really cool pyramid out of it. So I made one the next day, and then I took it off the base, inverted it, and made like a cube out of it's like this big, like 2 foot cube. Yeah,
cool. But that is creating new brain cells. The fact that you're lying in bed doing that, you're actually building brain cells when you're doing it. It's using that imagination to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the last thing on this list is, it's like, stop worrying about what other people think about you. And if you're one of these people who is concerned about what other people think, which comes down to kind of what you look like and, you know, what you've got and how you're dressed and what you're doing and what you say. And it's like, you start to inhibit yourself so much that you stop being.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get accused in my world of doing things and saying things that are a bit outrageous or you shouldn't or whatever. I don't really worry what other people think about me at all.
Not that you're insensitive.
No, I wouldn't want to be insensitive. But it's like life. Too many people sit there button-lipped when something should be said.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there's times to say it.
Yep.
You know, but it's like just because other people think you shouldn't do something, that doesn't mean it's right.
Mm.
You know, and whether it is how you dress and what you do, you know. And it's like, in the end, who cares? Because the only person who's the arbiter of my life is me.
Because in 10,000 years, whether or not we do live for 200-300 years, so no one's going to care, is it? So just do, yeah. Just have fun and get on with it.
Did I say that thing a couple of weeks ago about you die twice?
Don't think so.
About you, the first time you die is when your body stops working, and the second time you die is when the person, or the last person who remembers you, dies.
Wow.
So then you've disappeared from society.
Okay, yeah.
And someone said to me, once I said that, they said there's a third option, which is if you get someone who's got Alzheimer's, when they lose their sense of self, they don't even know who you are anymore, they've died. And then they physically die. And then their memory dies. So maybe there's three times you could die.
Wow.
Maybe there's more.
Open egg. Oh, yeah. Right, if you're a cat.
Nine times.
Yeah. All right. So that was your result of the week, was it?
It's called Lifehack is the site. Lifehack.org. And that is a really good site in all kinds of areas. It's not just about the kind of things we're talking about today. There's a million different stories on there, and there's people like Branson and stuff like that on there.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting site to look at.
I've definitely been on there at some point. Cool. Mine is a YouTube talk by a chap called Aubrey de Grey. He talks about immortality a lot, and he's a scientist doing a lot of work into basically trying to cure death. So
death is a terminal illness.
Yeah. There's a film called The Fountain, which goes into that actually as well. But there's loads of stuff on YouTube. I'll link to a specific talk. Really cool, fascinating guy. Kind of looks really old and young at the same time. He's got a big bushy beard and long hair. British guy, but he's working in California at the moment. Obviously some big hotshot investors giving him a lot of money to study this stuff, which is cool. And the stuff he says is all based in scientific fact. If we could eliminate cancer and Alzheimer's and all that, then other parts of the body are replaceable.
Yeah,
it's just keeping the mind ticking over.
It's estimated on the projections that the person who will live to 150 is already alive.
Yeah,
you know that if you look at how it's going up and up.
Yeah,
so
he's an interesting guy and he's quite witty as well for an academic guy. So.
But 150 makes midlife 75, 80.
Well, exactly. But there are all sorts of issues that crop up if people are going to live forever, or whether it's just a few really wealthy people that are going to be able to do it initially. Who knows? But have a look anyway, see what you think.
Mm.
Live long and prosper.
Will do.
Okay, next week, we don't know what we're talking about because we haven't decided.
But we will decide by then.
It will. Someone will have to make the decision. But do email us if there's anything you'd like us to discuss.
Yep.
We love getting your emails, hearing your feedback. And, just let us know what you'd like us to talk about. And we will. Go to the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, for all the show notes and links. Follow us online. Find me on Instagram. Check out all my lovely photographs. Mainly of little boys at the moment, actually. But
yeah,
that's where my life is. Cool. And,
it sounds a bit odd when you say that.
Yeah, they're my two lads.
They're your children.
Yeah, it's alright. Sean, have a good week.
And you. Take care.
See you, everyone.
See you. Bye.
Bye.